meeting the order for the annual board corrections meeting.
Would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza.
Here.
Council President Jones.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhar.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. Thank you. Well, Gordon, you may have the floor.
Okay. This is everybody's favorite meeting, and glad you're here to share it with me. This is the annual Board of Corrections, which is required by state law, since we have a municipal irrigation district. Opportunity for those that we serve to protest or raise questions about any of the assessments that apply to the 2016 irrigation season. Now, I will make note that the way we understand or read the state code on the matter, there is another type of correction process which can be applied for and acted on by council. Involves all the same people, and it could apply to any year in which there might be a protest and any corrections that need to be made. So we've always held these under the premise that any issue can be raised with regard to irrigation issues, particularly as it relates to the assessments. Now, since this happens infrequently, I include the same memo every time, and I'm sure you think it's a new one. but it's the identical information. Do you have any questions or any comments concerning the purpose and the process for dealing with protests or questions on assessments? Anything that you'd like to bring up with regard to the memo that's been provided?
Questions for Gordon?
So let's go on to the next stage. The Board of Correction is specified in state code to last up to 3 days if we cannot take care of the business before us. On this particular item, we can continue it for 2 more days, all of which must be finished and completed before March 20th. I don't see a crowd here, but let me bring up some issues, at least to hold the floor open long enough to where a crowd might come in. If you'll go to the latter end of the memorandum, you'll see an agenda that I've included there and some information that was included in the agenda. These are inconsequential items insofar as the purpose of this meeting is concerned, but is included here perhaps for matters of interest or information. First item is the tax deed list for the 2013 irrigation season. Now, if a property is delinquent in their irrigation assessments for a period of 3 years, then that property can be claimed on a tax deed to satisfy the claims of the unpaid assessment. We have had as many as 200 and some on this list, or maybe it's more than that, 2,000 and some. We've changed procedures as we've gone along, and now you will see that we have 5 properties on there, and almost all of them are HOAs. Last year, at the conclusion of this meeting and thereafter, every item, every claim was cleared without the need to go to tax deed, but you'll see that the HOAs primarily are on here. We're not exactly sure why, whether it's careless operation of the HOA or lack of information getting to them. We're not sure about that. Do you have any questions about the potential tax deed list for 2013, which would be acted on in this year?
Was there an attachment? It says the attachment, but I didn't see one.
Let me see. Give me the specific location of that, and I'll might be able to.
On the title, so Agenda for Board of Correction number 1, 2013.
Oh, Because I copied this thing, the attachment is actually typed in, so it's not an attachment.
Got it.
Next item, if there's no questions on the tax deed list. Oh, I should say with regard to these, let's take something like Sable Ridge HOA. What we do now, and Richard may want to explain even further, is we attach a fractional share of this unpaid assessment to the assessments of the members of that HOA, the residential lots, and divide it up that way so that this will probably go away. Did you want to say anything more about that, Richard?
No, I think that's a fair summary.
So that's the way we handle it.
And then, so the Oasis Properties, wasn't that one where a guy kind of got stuck with a corner lot in an HOA deal, the one on School Street?
It is on School Street, and I think, Richard, you worked that one out.
Last year. This year, he's coming in for an application to develop it. I believe it's about 10 acres or so, so it's going to be developed.
Oh, it's a...
So I've advised planning and zoning that when he comes in, he needs to make sure that he makes that other payment to get this paid off. But we did the same thing last year with the 2012. I think he went the farthest. It was...
Like the last day?
Yeah, hours before that he came in and wrote the check.
Okay.
He spent a considerable amount of time tracking him down to do that. So, but that is not just an HOA property. That's going to be developed as a small subdivision.
Thank you.
Gordon?
Yes.
Once they go into default, is there a penalty to compensate for our time?
Well, there's certainly some penalties. I wouldn't say they're very steep penalties. There's an interest rate that accrues and a penalty that accrues. And when they pay out, they have to pay out all the delinquent assessment for that year, plus the penalties and the interest.
They only have to pay 1 year, though.
Yeah. And so, like, for instance, Oasis Properties was on the list last year, but it was only applying to the 2012 irrigation season. They were also on the list for the 2013 year as delinquent last year, and now it's alive and ready for action this year.
Okay.
As to compensation, I don't think that such a thing, the equation doesn't work out real well, at least for our staff time.
I just wonder if there should be some kind of penalty to compensate for our having to meet and discuss all this.
The items are prescribed in state code, including interest and penalties, and we don't really have any leeway on what to do. We do have leeway on the drinking water system or the sewer bills, those kind of things, but not here.
Okay.
Next item number two, water supply balance. Now, what this is referring to is that in order to operate the irrigation system properly, we have water rights which are delivered to us from Boise CUNY Irrigation District and New York Irrigation District, and those are in turn pumped or wasted. And in addition, to make sure that we have enough capacity, we will from time to time, and maybe for extended periods of time, drop water from the potable system into the PI system. And this next little chart is to show, I guess, the relative amounts of those that occurred from 2014 to the 2015 irrigation season. So if you look at the column under 2014, you see that we pumped to 905 million gallons of canal water. And then you can see correspondingly in 2015, 1,147 million gallons of canal water. Then you see below that the amounts of potable water during that irrigation season for the respective years that was delivered to the system for use. The thing I want to call your attention to is that line, which shows a certain amount of progress in reducing the amount of potable water dropped into the PI system. To me, it's a significant difference. That's primarily due to the fact that we extended some PI mains that made it capable of delivering water from our Sago Prairie Pond to locations where we had had to waste water at these pump stations otherwise. We're also doing a project this year that will deliver water again from the Sago Prairie Pond to supplement the supplies for the Chaparosa pump station. We expect another drop. The other thing that you will note is that on the bottom line, canal water wasted, that is the difference between what we were charged for water delivery, what was booked against our account, and what we actually pumped. Now, it's only partly accurate in the sense that it's apparent that the irrigation districts will order in, say, 150 inches of water at a gate, and they are apparently delivering at a higher rate than that to us. Nonetheless, when at the end of the year, insofar as the book account is concerned, in 2014 we wasted 152 million gallons that went over the weir and on down the ditch without our using it, as opposed to 68 million gallons in 2015. That number is also improving. Any questions on those items? That was
good.
All right.
Gordon, on potable water, if we go to well number 10 or 11, the one at Butler, you're converting that one well to, is that still going to be counted as potable water?
No.
Assessment?
We won't count it that way. I haven't figured out just exactly how I will show that. The intent is to use that well during peak draw time, which is generally at night. And it's more expensive than using the canal water, so we will only use it when we absolutely need it. And hopefully we can preserve water right, surface water right, particularly in the dry year, so that we have a longer season.
Okay.
By doing that. That's the purpose of it.
So that 96 should drop also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions concerning that item?
Any other questions for Gordon? Okay.
Okay.
Anybody here?
Okay. The next item that we want to talk about, if we skip the Mr. Splett items, we want to talk about the Old Town area. Mike has prepared for me and for you a kind of a summary of what's at issue here in the Old Town area. Essentially, the Old Town area was an area in which the city, on their initiative, installed some pressure irrigation mains along Elm, Franklin, and portion of Martison. And they had been the historically old sections of town that never had pressure irrigation to the area. And they put them in dry, meaning there was no supply coming to them. In 2010, we constructed a line which finally provided supply to those locations, so that there was now water in those PI mains, and then advertised or gave notice to properties that they could now connect up, sign up, to get pressure irrigation delivery as opposed to gravity irrigation delivery in the ditches. And so a number of those have changed to pressurized irrigation, but a number of them remain that haven't switched over. But there's some issues related to this that we thought you should be aware of, and which we would like direction from, if you're willing to give it, and how to deal with some particular situations. Now, there is a map, a colored map, in your packet. If you're looking at that map, let's make sure that we understand the code, I guess, that we're using in the legend here. You see areas that are tinted in green. And those are properties that are taking and have legally connected to pressurized irrigation and are using it. So you see the greens. Now, the solid blues are those who are still paying irrigation accounts. But specifically, the solid blues are paying irrigation accounts but are not taking a delivery of gravity water. So they're paying, not getting. Then we have some specialized properties, I guess I will call it. There is properties that are, I don't know whether I'd call that pink or what it is, pink hatch. Sometimes it will be with a white background, sometimes it will be with a blue background. And there's some other specialized ones. These are properties with the pink hatch that have illegally connected to the PI system. In other words, they've taken the water, haven't paid either assessments that apply to it or paid connection fees associated with it. There is another group that I will call the blue hatch. Those are the properties that are have paid for gravity irrigation and are taking delivery of gravity irrigation in all that area. And finally, you have the combined groups. There's one that is a pink hatch with a blue hatch behind it. Means they're taking water that they have not paid for out of the pressurized system and also using gravity water. And you'll see that there are two of those.
Yeah.
And finally, we have a group, only one in it, only one in the group, that has a red hatch in it. That one is taking PI water, is not in the irrigation district, is not any part of it, but have hooked up without paying connection fees, not paying assessments to the city of CUNA. We're delivering water and they have apparently of their own volition just hooked up. In all these properties where we have a pink hatch or a red hatch, the boxes were locked and have subsequently, as near as we can tell, been cut. So the locks have been cut out. So these are specialized cases. Now I want to discuss this in steps. The first step I want to draw your attention to is perhaps the least offensive part of it. It has to do with those that the blue hatch that pay for gravity irrigation and take delivery of it, and the large areas that are solid blue that pay for gravity irrigation and don't take delivery of it. The net effect of this is that we have large periods of time through the course of a week when nobody's taking delivery of this water, but we're running it down the ditch and out the back end and wasting it. So that's that group. The staff would like to propose a solution of sorts to this particular issue, and that is to propose a restructuring of the delivery schedule so that water is delivered on a limited number of days and only to those parties who are using it, and that we get rid of wasting water the entire week for days that nobody uses it. Now, that's a solution that we would like to throw out. We would like to hear your comments or questions concerning that item and whether you're agreeable with the suggestion or whether we should proceed with that. Any comments? Any questions?
Do they, so the people that actually use the water, do they contact you somehow? I mean, the way it is right now, it's just here's your schedule and you can water then, and it's a take it or leave it, right?
That's close to it. Apparently we have, and I don't get involved in this part of it, but we have schedules that stay the same ever since the beginning. Back to the creation, as far as I know, but that we will specify in a particular year, odd year or even year, and the schedule is a certain way for even years and a different way for the odd years, and regardless of whether they use it or not, as you described it, take it or leave it. And so for significant portions of the day and night, it's just going on down the drain ditch. And in 2013, that would have been helpful to have that water.
So when they're supplied those, I guess actually they have to come here to get a schedule, right? Or do we supply them?
We, I believe, is it Katie that puts it on our website and now puts it on the website? How they did it before, I think they picked up a sheet. And I think, like for his Waihi over here, I think it's actually posted on a board that's there. And that's where they get their schedules. One way one year, different way the next year, and then it rotates back. So what we would propose to do is say, deliver on the weekends. And those who are using it, put them on the schedule. And those who may change their mind and want to use it can come to us and we'll give them a timeframe in which to take delivery.
So they would have access to it then, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and if, let's say there's 150 of these properties, if they change their mind, all of them change their mind, then we would of course start delivering on 5 days, 6 days, maybe even 7 days in order to fill that need. I mean, that's...
Sure.
That's the proposal. Now, if you were to ask me specifically what I'd like to do, I'd like to get rid of gravity irrigation entirely.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, and it goes no further than that.
Any questions or comments?
Gordon, just on Mondays, 632 gets it from 8:05 to 12:05.
And you're looking at the chart, right?
Yeah. 632 North Franklin gets it 8:05 to 12:05. And then evidently the neighbor, 701, gets it from 3:45 to 6:10. Where does it go from 12:06 to 3:44? Is it just running down the ditch?
Down the drain ditch.
Same thing I notice over on Tuesdays, you've got 724 gets it from 3:40 to 5:50, and then nothing until the neighbor gets it at 10:30, so you've got another 5 hours. And I don't know how many inches are running down there. What are you, about 30 inches, 20 inches?
We deliver, in most of these cases, 25 inches to the ditch.
25?
Yeah.
So you've got 25 inches...
That's an acre foot a day.
...running for roughly 5 hours in, down the ditch.
Yeah. Now, one thing you should know about this chart that you see on your packet, the black are those that have connected up to the pressurized irrigation system. They used to be in the rotation, but now they're gone, so... But we've continued to deliver as we did back in ancient history.
Gordon, why can't we, because it looks like we deliver to Franklin on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday. Why wouldn't we try to combine them so all of Franklin is on one day to help? I mean, so you're not, I don't know, I mean, without seeing what ditch supplies what, but I would think that it would be more efficient to do all of Franklin on one day. And then, I mean, is that, I guess it's hard to say, I mean, I don't know if I really want to mandate when I'm going to give somebody water, especially when they're paying for it, but I don't know if those people will be receptive to trying to work with a schedule to make it more efficient for it, because I don't think anybody wants to waste water. I think if we bring it to them, do you think they would be more receptive to trying to coordinate with us to help?
Certainly, there needs to be a tool-up session here on something like this. What we would like to do is, we actually have, I think in that Old Town area, I think we have 3 delivery ditches. So there's 3 cycles, 3 separate cycles going on at the same time. We would like to reduce the number of days sufficient to get those all on one day. I think there's a few enough that are using it that we could give them. If we did it on the weekends, they could have it all on one day and on daytime hours instead of nighttime hours. And then, of course, we would still be running water down the ditch at the nighttime. But that's kind of the idea that we have, is try to figure out a way to use our water right a little more efficiently so that it's available for other uses like pressurized irrigation the rest of the time.
And I think another point, too, is when you use gravity irrigation out of a canal, you really do have to mandate when it can be used. Otherwise, you're just running ditch water all the time. I mean, that's kind of always been the nature of the beast for canal water. It used to be you'd get a Prince Albert can and put your card in there, and the ditch rater would turn your water on. But in this case, it's not a matter of, you kind of get to pick, because it's, you got to load the ditch with water, and so everybody's got to kind of be on that same schedule, or else you're just running water on down the ditch.
Well, I guess also that might, and maybe I need to understand this a little better, when you're watering with gravity, it's not, you're flooding your property. So you're not flooding your property every other day or every third day like you'd run your sprinklers. So really, they could possibly run once a week or something, and that would give them enough water to do what they do. I mean,
typically that's what the rotations have been. Okay. You have a set time, set day, every week in which you take delivery.
So you ever had anybody complain that we're not giving them enough water?
No.
Okay, so we can just manipulate the schedule a little better to be more efficient, and we're really not affecting anybody.
Presumably.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the different ways in which it wouldn't work. If they had a weekend job, then maybe it doesn't work so well for them. We don't know exactly how that's going to turn out.
Okay.
But there's so few. If you look at that colored map, the hash blue is not a great number of them.
Are you including the waste here in that 68 million gallons?
Nope.
Okay.
Any questions? Maybe I should ask it this way. Do you have any significant objections to the staff pursuing this?
I think that looking at the chart and the number of users that we have, I don't see really that you have any. I mean, it just makes sense to change the schedule to where it makes sense.
We don't think it makes sense to surprise you. Okay. All right, next item. Let's talk about those that are the Wildcat connections. Without throwing emotions into it, staff would like at least consideration given to the idea that if somebody is taking the water without having paid for it, that we might consider it as an automatic petition to be charged for it and to pay the connection fees like anybody else who voluntarily did it. Now, right now, what we do with somebody who voluntarily comes and wants to connect, most of them, not all, but most of them will sign a note with the city to pay that off over a period of 12 years at a flat monthly rate. Now, we've got these folks that have presumably have felt that they were at liberty to go out there and cut the locks and begin to take delivery on their own choice without doing the paying. So what staff would like at least thrown out for consideration, that if somebody has done this, that be considered as an automatic petition to enter into this financing arrangement to pay it off over a period of time, and we put them without prejudice, put them on the payoff schedule as if they'd come through the front door. Any thoughts, any comments about this? And you'll see, what have we got? About nine different properties, if you see where the properties are divided up, about nine different properties that fall under this category that we know of right now.
Have you talked to Richard about the legal status of us doing that?
We don't talk to Richard.
Oh, okay. Well, no wonder you seem so happy.
Not when it comes to things like this, we don't talk to him.
I just wondered about the repercussions of us forcing that upon them. Do we have the legal status to enforce it with a foreclosure after 3 years?
That's a question I hadn't actually considered.
The contract that prepared has a paragraph in there that has a consensual lien paragraph that if they don't pay that, which if they all have been paid, you could be put on the bill, but we can then record it against the property. We would not be able to have that because they wouldn't be agreeing to that mechanism. It has to be a consensual lien that they signed for that and agreed to that. So it may be that we would have to rework that contract if we're going to force it on them. My gut feeling is, I think we're, what, discounting this by half, is that right?
We're discounting the connection fees by half.
By half, and putting them on this payment schedule. If they've gone and turned it on themselves, quite honestly, I think that they, if they enter into the contract, maybe they just pay the full fare. Give them warning that they just come in and sign the contract with no penalty, and then we're there, or that they have to sign up, or they'll be charged for the full amount. It's kind of what I think. I don't think we should maybe give them a benefit for being illegal about it.
So then you're talking about we would lock out the system, then give them notice that they can have access to the system if they sign up for it, and if they take it again illegally, then they will be charged the entire fee.
Correct.
So you give them an easy option or a hard option, and the hard option includes cutting the lock off.
Yes.
Here, I'm going to bite my tongue a little bit here, so I'll try to be civil about this.
Do I start now?
Yeah, exactly. I just don't see why we just don't throw the book at them. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they are stealing. And if I recall, that is against the law. So I have no sympathy for them. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you can put $5,000 fines on cutting locks. I don't, whatever you want to do, I will be for, because this is ridiculous if somebody thinks that they can get away with it. And so, I think you just throw the book at them, as far as I'm concerned, because they know what they're doing. They can't say they don't know what they're doing.
Particularly after they cut a lock.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so I think there needs to be some major deterrent one way or another. And as far as your resolution, I put all five of them on there. They get hit with everything. Whatever we can do legally. I'm very disappointed that that we have no deterrent for them to stop doing this, or enforcing a deterrent, I guess. But it just ticks me off, to be honest with you. So whatever you want to do is fine with me. I mean, like I said, I think just fine them and put some in the thing so they can never even cut the lock. I don't care. So, you guys can go dig it out later whenever they pay for it.
You know, Councilman Jones, I think I'll talk to Richard from now on. I'm trying to keep my own emotions out of it and just try to figure out a way to get to an appropriate resolution, which is a paying customer and going about our business. If that's not what council would like to do and would like to do the harder thing, the more direct and maybe the more proportional thing, we would certainly do that. This one is the hardest.
Richard's speechless.
I'm just wondering if he wants to use a new rope, or can we use old ropes if we're going to hang them? I am kind of curious. What do we do with the ones that are not in the KMID?
Well, we're going to address that one in just a minute.
Okay, okay. I say we use a new rope.
If I may, Gordon?
You can tie them all together.
Go ahead.
We had one instance on Hubbard where they were caught stealing. We called the sheriff, and they couldn't do anything for us. They said, we can try to write a ticket, but it's not going to hold up because we don't have any proof that we put a lock on it. So some of these, we don't have a proof that there was a picture with a lock on that address. And he kind of let us hang of, it's going to be your word against theirs, and I don't think there's going to be a judge that's going to take this. Whether that, we have a better attorney than he realizes, you know, I don't know, but that's something else. So now when we do drop locks on these, we are taking pictures, but we don't have that.
Which would tend for me to go back to locking it out again, notifying the property owner, and then, you know, from there, it's, you have the easy way of making payments and being a part of the system like everyone else, or you have to pay the whole deal all at once if you cut the lock.
Mike, if they've got a better attorney than ours, could you get their name for us?
I will.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, I don't have a problem. I think once they cut the lock, though, I think that all things are off the table. I mean, I don't have a problem trying to work with them to make sure that they're educated properly.
Right. That's what I think. The education's there, and they know, and they're willfully cutting it. It's no different than, I mean, that's theft of service. It's like power company comes to shut your power off, and you go out and put a jumper in it so you still have power. They're going to find out, and they're going to bill you and sue you and everything else.
Yeah.
No difference, so.
Really?
Okay, we will try to pursue it that way. Now, let's go to another special case. You will see a pink stripe with a white background. That goes right to the question about those who are taking delivery without permission and not part of KMID. I think I can probably extrapolate from the previous discussion that at least insofar as paying the bills, I can figure out how to do that. I want to say that there's one additional step in here. If they're not part of KMID, it is that they be, we consider it a voluntary petition to annex into KMID since they're taking delivery from it. And that would be the only additional thing that we would do. And I presume if we follow, again, the context of the previous response was that we would do it with some type of notice.
And it doesn't cost anything to annex anyways, does it? I mean, if somebody wants to, this person wants to.
We have been doing all the annexations for free. There's been no fee to do it. We pay the cost of publishing and all the internal costs to prepare them.
Is everyone agreeable to that?
Can we force annex something like that?
That's what I'm suggesting here is that. And the only way to get them in here, the only way we can legally deliver water is to have them part of KMID. Otherwise, we can't pool the water rights for delivery purposes.
They are part of the city, though, if that's the question. They are part of the city.
They're in the city limits, but yes. They're not in our
district.
Municipal irrigation district.
Can we force them to join the district?
I don't know exactly how I would say this. We cannot legally deliver to them.
Right.
They're not part of the district. They have gone out and, to use Councilman Jones' words, stolen it. And we would propose as a settled way of doing it is that we annex them into KMID and they begin to act like the.
Richard's question is, so for the properties that are already in it, what we're proposing to do is offer them a hookup and hope that they take it, or we force the hookup, right? And so if we're using that for this property, we're offering them access to KMID and the discounted hookup, or we're allowed to forcibly annex them into, because in the one way they're saying, yes, I want to be in, you know what I mean? So that, I think if I'm understanding correctly, that's his question. Are we allowed to? decide that they're...
Yeah, I'm being careful on the answer, but let me answer this way. The way the language of the state code addresses this is that it doesn't require them to petition. I don't know why it doesn't mention it, but it doesn't. There is another flip side to it, though, is if they approach us before certain day in March, maybe March 15th, like tonight, and they're in the KMID, they can be excluded from the district, at least temporarily, if they want to take delivery some other way. They can do that. Now, I don't know whether that answers the question directly. The state code doesn't say they have to petition.
I understand what you're saying in terms of we can't deliver them water if they're not in. So if I'm understanding Richard's question correctly, I think that the outcome then is if we can't force them to be in it, then we just have to keep locking it and come up with some other penalty mechanisms if they cut it, because we would have no legal way to deliver the water. If we can forcibly annex them into the irrigation district, then we can proceed with what we're doing with the rest of the lots, as I understand it. And I think that's what Richard's asking, because I have kind of the same question.
Well, certainly the question is appropriate, because there are certain obligations, like even the tax deed portion of this, that become operative once they're in the irrigation district. Now, there are enforcement remedies, fines and so forth. Maybe you want to discuss those that maybe we could apply to these, like this particular property.
We can do that. My thought, Mr. Carter, was to educate, make them aware of the annexation, because they're either going to annex in and sign the contract, or they're going to say, no, I'm not going to do any of it. In this case, I was just asking, if it's not within the district, no, it's not, but there's a pipe there, and they refuse to annex in, and we decide that we're not going to annex them in, we may want to, as Councilmember Jones says, fill the box of concrete until they actually are in the district. We can't deliver the water to them.
I think that answers the question.
But I think we'll try the education part, because if they're going to do Part B in this case, they're probably going to annex in. If they're not, then we will know their position. If they just say, no, I'm not doing anything, I'm going to take the water, and you know what we need to do to run it.
Yeah, and as long as they know it's an easy process to ask for annexation, then there should be no problem with that part. But
let me make sure I've also given you the right breakdown here. This one with the white background, are they in KMID?
If it's not colored,
I'm trying to figure out the distinction between them and the red stripes.
If it's not colored, I'm not billing them for anything.
So they're not in gravity irrigation.
I'll have to check with Lauren on that before we make, you know.
Is this red one in gravity irrigation, but not in KMID? I mean, I'm not sure how that works.
When you have to be in KMID to get the gravity?
They have to be in KMID for us to pool water rights to deliver.
No, I understand that, but we're talking about people who are, in any case. On the legend, it says PIUs are not in KMID for the red stripe.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The one with the white background, Gordon, just seen it, whatever day that was, I was out there Wednesday. He probably should have been similar to this other one up by the White Barn Apartments with the red background.
Same coloring.
Yeah, he's got a pressurized irrigation box there. There's no lock on it. And from what I can tell, he's not in our district. So he would fit the same bill.
So the two, I think, are identical then in that regard. Both of them are not in KMID. Both of them have taken delivery of their own volition.
That actually kind of makes sense on the Christmas one, because it's the apartment's kind of behind the fire station, so I would assume when they divided that property off and left the house out of that corner, They went into the irrigation district for the apartments, but not the house, and kept it separate. So it almost makes sense that they're not there, but that's why they're able to get it, is because the water line had to get to the rest of all that. But I think that's a reasonable solution if everyone else is agreeable, is try to educate them and see if they'll do this the easy way and continue from there.
Is this something that we don't have to wait till next year to remedy this? I mean, if somebody give them the option to take care of this next month or two, and they don't, we can come back and figure out how to, you know, or the repercussion or whatever you want to call it. We don't have to wait till the next Board of Correction to try to solve this problem. Okay. So.
No, Board of Corrections covers those who are legitimately part of the KMID, and in our normalized assessment, we have the two parts. We have the gravity irrigation part, and we have the pressurized irrigation part. So those who are somehow violating that principle, I don't think have the protections that belong to those who are legally part of it. I don't see anybody else here. I'm willing to answer any questions that on any issue related to irrigation that feel are appropriate. We will begin to announce, for instance, that a tentative date for delivery of irrigation water, and that will be around April 20th. We will begin filling the system around April 10th through April 20th. People can use the water if it's there and pressurized up without regard to the fact whether it's really the turn-on date or not. We're just in the process of filling during that time and checking and repairing leaks. Any questions about those?
Has the yearly fee changed this year?
It went up some, I believe.
Yeah, I want to say...
That was done back in November.
I was going to say, I probably voted on it, but I don't remember.
And right now, I don't remember.
Okay. I think one thing that we have to be aware of, those that are not in the KMID, the procedures of enforcement have got to be totally different than it would be if they were in KMID. One becomes civil, I'm sure. If they're not in the KMID, it's actually stealing the water. Water rights become a big issue. And as you know, Richard, it goes through the courts quite frequently. How we pursue those that are not in KMID, we have to be very careful of water rights, even though they may be stealing. By our standards, the enforcement has to be totally different than if they were in the KMID, I'm sure. Because there's no contractual obligation that they've signed. The enforcement is totally, I'm sure, is going to be totally different. It's more of a civil, I think, stealing than it would be anything else. So, I wish you well.
And I think this actually, the red and green stripe one kind of brings up a point that when we let people do these lot splits and develop, maybe we need to look at this before that. In order to allow that lot split, maybe everything needs to be put into the CUNA Municipal Irrigation District and not allow little polka dots all over the place. I'm sure that's what happened there. I mean, it looks that way, so.
Didn't the developer of that White Barn Apartments, he lived in that house for a while, and I think it's somewhat different now, so they might not even know
that
they're in violation
or
whatever.
I think
that might be the case
right.
With what's this Martizan and Boise Street here, the white and yellow, or white and...
With the white background?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the case, too, because there's been several different people live there over the last few years, so.
So it could be as simple as the education part, and they would say, oh, I didn't know that. And I don't know.
Let's hope.
I think every year goes by, this mayor and this council gets much smarter. Trial and error, I believe.
But then something else comes up.
Yes.
Mayor, Gordon, where do the people in the white get their water? Is that all potable from their, I mean, the ones that are in neither district? I mean, how are they irrigating?
They get it through their own taps.
Okay.
In that case, the Martisan Manor area, they gave up, and the Butler as well, they gave up their water rights in 1978. So they have no water right. I can get it to them, but it's a process.
Yeah, specifically, they gave up their surface water right.
That just answered my question to that lot. That's why it's not colored. It doesn't even have a water right. It's not part of any district.
Do we not have PI in Butler now?
Parts of it. Two-thirds of it, or a third. I think it's two-thirds. But I have to transfer water rights from other subdivisions. I cut out the right-of-way, the roads. I cut out the water right out of the roads and go through a process with Boise Cuna to transfer that acreage to Butler to cover the water right there because they gave up their water rights.
The city never inherited the water rights to Butler when it was developed?
The owner gave that away in 78.
Oh, okay.
You'll actually see on the comments that I put through on the various subdivision and applications that come in front of us that in making this application,
give up their rights.
They agree that they must notify us and get our permission before they give up water rights like that. In Butler, apparently, they decided it was wise to give it up so that they didn't have the expense of dealing with it. So anyway, we prefer that not happen again and again. I think those water rights are valuable. I am at the bottom of my list, so if there's anything else.
Anything further for Gordon?
Thank you for
thank you.
Did we answer everything?
I think we have enough that to go on. There will be notice given of some sort.
Okay.
And try to get them voluntarily a part of this.
Gordon?
Very good.
Gordon, are you done?
I am.
Are we going over the splits property, or is that a separate issue, or not an issue?
Well, it's certainly separate. He made a request that we exclude a portion of his property from assessment. He's done this multiple times. He was told no in 2009. He came back again in 2014 or 15. And the last time he met with this Board of Correction, at his request or suggestion, he wanted to delay it till now, a decision, and no decision was made by council. So we included it in case he came forward. Otherwise, he's received an assessment that still includes all of his property.
I guess, is it an issue that has to be dealt tonight with this board?
No. If there's a change, it would have to be dealt with this board, but if there's no change, and frankly, the staff would recommend that there not be a change.
What wasn't the issue, and I'm going by memory, he has a big ditch that runs through his property.
Yeah, the map's in there.
Yeah, and he's arguing that he shouldn't have to irrigate that ditch. Wasn't that the issue?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we assessing him on that property if it's not irrigatable, if it's a canal going through there?
It is irrigatable is the problem, and it also has a water right that we're paying for. And the same question could be applied, and this is where it gets dangerous for the staff, is that if that argument prevails, then what do we do with all the lots that have a driveway or that have a house over a portion of it? It kind of becomes far more complicated. It also becomes necessary in order to keep it financially whole, the whole system, that if we had all these applications for, to be excluded for the basis that they have a ditch to their property, this wouldn't be a fun process, at least I wouldn't think so. So our recommendation is you don't. If you decide that you want to exclude it, all right, we'll have to figure something out.
If that actually was before us tonight, I would still agree with the letter that was sent March 31 of 2009. I mean, I think it explains the reasoning behind the way things are set up the way they are.
So he has not officially, formally asked for anything tonight. This is just an FYI, just in case he was here.
We brought in the items, the pictures, the issues, so that at least you'd have enough to work on to discuss it and consider it.
Well, I'm just going off the assumption, so he's not here tonight, then he doesn't have a problem with it, is the way I'm looking at it.
Who can tell?
I mean,
it's his own man.
Well, the way the meeting left last year, I think it would have been fair to assume that it would be on the agenda this year. So I think that's why it was placed there.
Okay, he was never on the agenda then?
He did not specifically and explicitly come in.
Okay.
Since the last assessment was put out, he did not come in and request to be on the agenda.
Okay.
But again, our previous order correction did not come to a conclusion at his request. It was his suggestion to deal with it in the coming year, because he'd already paid his assessment, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Beyond that, we haven't heard from him.
I thought it was on the agenda for a public testimony, is why I guess I was confused.
We won't bring it up again unless he makes a new application.
Okay.
And once we close this tonight, we're done. Somebody can't come in tomorrow and try to reopen this.
I don't think so. You guys can always make a decision to open a discussion on any item related to any assessment in any year. There's a procedure in state code to do that.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't legally bound to be available for the next 2 days, just in case somebody comes in if we close this.
No, I believe that the language of the state code is if we can't get taken care of tonight, okay, then it gets kicked back over to another day. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Gordon.
You wanted to make sure you attended the hanging, didn't you?
Well, we have no more business for the Board of Corrections, so this meeting is adjourned.